We are days away from the Yom Hadin from Rosh Hashanah. The request was to change the usual affair of the Siddur to a different book, and that is the Machzor. I thought for a moment that I was going to do perhaps the section of Shofros. It's often probably the most misunderstood and least relatable, because it's hard to understand what the Shofar has to do with exactly that part of davening. But instead, what I want to do is I want to hopefully give us the tools to appreciate the most repeated part of the Machzor over the next Aseres Me'eshuva, and that is the four insertions that we have in Shemoneh Esrei, of Uksov L'Chaim, Zachreinu, and things like that. I want to go through all four. I want to explain what they are doing in the Machzor, why they are there, so perhaps unlock the secret of what we're saying, since we are going to be saying it a lot of times, again, more than anything else, and to give a peirush, to give an explanation, so we should deepen our kavana to what exactly it is we're saying. In that as well, I'm going to also discuss the brachos of HaMelech HaKadosh and HaMelech HaMishpat, and we'll talk about also the change to Shemoneh Esrei of either HaMavrech HaSema Yisrael HaShalom or Oseh HaShalom and the different Minhagim. So we're going to try to cover, everything in the time that we have, to try to cover all the changes to the standard Shemoneh Esrei we have over Aseres Me'eshuvah. So hopefully we'll walk into Rosh Hashanah Aseres Me'eshuvah with a deeper understanding of what we're doing when we make these changes. Let's begin. In the days of the Gaonim, they established insertions for the Tilos. All of the insertions we're going to discuss, except for the change in the Brachos, come from the period of the Gaonim. And that's important, because if it's not a change established by Chazal, it doesn't have the same weight. So let's begin. Let's review them very quickly. The first is Zochreinu in the first Bracha. The second is Mikamocha in the second bracha, Uksov in Modim, and then finally the Sefer Chaim in Simshalm. You all have that in front of you. You have a Machzor. You don't need me to tell you that. Archskol took care of that for you. Now these phrases, again, as we said, are first mentioned to be inserted in the Gaon, but really the sources come from the Tikkuni Zohar. They come from Kabbalah, and that's sufficient for us right now. The minhag to say them is noted in the Maseches Sofrim. The Maseches Sofrim is a later work that's in between Chazal and the Gaonim. And the Masechah Sofrim says that it's not proper to add these things except on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We should only say these things Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And this is cited by the Tor, who includes that the Minhag nevertheless is to recite these four things, all of Aseres Me'eshuvah. And the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah says as well that Yesh Mekomo Shenagu, there are places that add these four insertions to the davening over Aseres Me'eshuvah. Now, the issue of adding Hosafos and Bakashas, the issue of adding to Shemoneh Esrei, is a bit complicated, because the Gemara in Brachos Daf Lamed Daled says that the first three brachos and the last three brachos of Shemoneh Esrei are untouchable. You're never allowed to add to them. You can't add in your own personal supplications. This is always a great point of debate in our classes, because often people will put things they're thankful for in Modim, and that is 100% against the Gemara. That is not the place to make insertions in Modim. Insertions have to be either within the middle brachos of Bakashos or in a kind of sort. You're not allowed to touch Modim. Modim has to be pristine. So if that's the case, the Gemara in Brachos says in Daf Lamed Daled that you can't make any insertions, any changes within the Nesach HaBracha. So says the Rashba, according to Bahag, I don't understand. During Aseres Me'eshuvah, people are adding in all these things, seemingly against the Gemara. And for this reason, the line of B'Sefer Chaim perhaps is added to Sim Shalom. They want to explain, maybe Sim Shalom is like the 19th Brach of Shemoneh Esrei already. So it seems like you already finished 18. Like maybe you can like play with the 19th because you already got 18 in. That's 18 is all you really needed. So there's discussions perhaps why B'Sefer Chaim is not as bad. Now the Beis Yosef thinks the reasoning is difficult. They have a whole discussion between the Prisha and the Beis Yosef as to whether these insertions are proper. They're not improper at the end of the day. Nevertheless, the Torah cites Rav Haigon, who says that there's no issue making requests if the brachos are for tzarchei rabim, for the needs of the tzibur. And since everything we're saying in these four insertions are in plural, zochrei nu, everything is in plural, and since it's for all of Klal Yisrael, therefore the minhag is that we do make these insertions, even though you are correct that the Gemara Bracha says we don't touch the first three, the last three brachos, but since this is an exception to the rule, we'll allow it in this particular instance, and it is mutter. This leads to a machlokes rishonim, and that is, what if you forget one of the four insertions to the first three, the last three brachos? You have to go back. So Tosos in Brachos Yud Beis cites the Rihu, says it does matter, and if you skip one of the four insertions, you have to go back. And the Maharam Rothenberg agrees and says that if you don't say it, you're being Mishana Mimatbeya Shetavu Chachamim, you're changing the Nusach HaTzfilah of the Chachamim. However, most Rishonim, including the Torah, say that if you forget the four insertions of Yom Narayim, you do not have to repeat, because again, they come from the Gaonim, they don't come from Chazal, and even if you wanted to repeat it, the Rama writes in the Darkei Moshe, you would not be allowed to. So that is a general overview to the insertions that we have. Let's begin to go one by one through all four. Let's begin with Zochreinu L'Chaim. The Torah says Zochreinu L'Chaim contains 11 words. The 11 words either correspond to three psukim in Yechezkel, in Perek Yud Ches. In Perek Yud Ches, it talks about doing tshuva. I'm not going to go through the psukim right now, but you'll go and see there are three psukim that have 11 words in them, and the psukim are all about tshuva. So the Torah says that we use the Zochreinu L'Chaim as 11 words to correspond to those psukim in Yechezkel that deal with tshuva. This is cited by the Beis Yosef as well. Okay. There is a question regarding whether the word should be L'Chaim with a patach, L'Chaim, or L'Chaim with a shva. The Torah cites the Maharam who says that it should be with a shva, L'Chaim, Zochreinu L'Chaim, not Zochreinu L'Chaim. Because if it's a patach, or afraid that you may say Lo Chaim. If I say Lo Chaim, it may sound like no life, and that's going to obviously going to be extremely uncomfortable on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur when you say Hashem Zochreinu, not for life. So in order to get around that, they stress you should say L'Chaim, so you don't by accident say Lo Chaim in our davening. The Maharal cited in the Bach questions this, because the Pasuk in Yeshaya says, Kol HaKasuv L'Chaim. We have the word L'Chaim with a patach in Tanakh, and nobody says anything over there. And also, if you say with a patach, it will mean like with a hey hayadiyah, lachaim, the life. We want the best life, Hashem. So why shouldn't we say with a patach? So to this, the Marshal responds. And he says, the Maram understands that when there is an issue of making a mistake, who cares what it says in psukim? Psukim are very nice. Psukim are for Tanakh. But when it comes to davening, and we don't want to make a mistake in our words, we have to be super careful, and then better not to say lachaim. The Bach says, the Maram is only careful here. But what about the bracha of Hashkiveinu that we say in Marav? We say, Vamidenu Malkeinu L'Chaim. Why is it okay over there? So the Bach explains. Because it's Aseres Yimei Tshuva. It's Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. We need to be so careful with every single pronunciation and enunciation of the davening. And therefore, we need to be extra careful not to say L'Chaim, lest we say Lo Chaim. The minhag is to say L'chaim with a shva following this approach. And therefore we say Zochreinu L'chaim, not L'chaim. The Talmud of Rashi and the Sefer Amanig both advocate saying Zochreinu L'chaim Tovrim, because we should be Zohar. We have to ask for a lot of things, not just ask for life, but ask for a great life. And the Torah cites the Maram who felt that no, you only say Zochreinu L'chaim in the first bracha. Because, and this is a theme we're going to repeat again and again, so pay attention. The rule is, you always want to move from smaller praise to larger praise. So you'll notice, in these four things, it gets more and more ambitious in what we ask for. We start small, and each time, we ratchet up the four expressions a little bit more to ask for more stuff. And this is the yesod of the tour. And this is cited by the Mishnah Berurah. The Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah say that the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah explain that if you forget Zochreinu, but you remember before you say Hashem's name, you can go back and correct it. But once you finish the bracha, you can really no longer go back and make that insertion anymore. What is the Perush? What are we saying? Let's conclude here with this first insertion, and let's explain the Perush according to Rashi. Rashi is not on a Gemara, because obviously this does not appear in the Gemara. There's a Sefer called the Sefer HaPardes. The Sefer HaPardes is written by the students of Rashi, and you have a lot of Torah from Rashi that's not included in other places. Listen to this. Zochreinu. Now, sorry, you'll notice the word, there are three chayims in this first one. Okay? So each chayim means something else. Says Rashi. Zochreinu, remember us on this time of judgment, and inscribe us l'chayim. For spirituality, physical well-being, so we can focus on our spiritual well-being. Why? Because you are the melech who is chafetz b'chayim, of your servants. You want us, your servants, to live. And you don't desire the death of sinners. You want us to be successful. V'kosveinu b'sefer achayim, and write us in the book of the righteous who are inscribed for life. And we don't want life just for physical pleasure, Hashem. Rather, it's lamancha Elokim. It's for Hashem, who's the source of all power. Hashem, give me life so I can serve you, not just for selfish reasons. The Malbim explains as well, similar along these lines, and we want to create a nachas ruach. We want to create a pleasure for Hashem and to fix our sins so you'll reveal to everyone your great chesed and rachman. And therefore we say, Mechai Mesim Berachman Rabbim, we go on to talk about the chesed and rachman of Hashem. And therefore that is the perush of the first bracha. According to Rashi, we are asking for life so that we can therefore fulfill the will of Hashem and be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. Rav Shaul Brach, who's one of the great Darshanim before the Holocaust, he writes in the Devar HaMelucha, he says the first Chaim is just about being alive, right? Zecherenu L'chaim, Hashem, I want to be alive. But the second Chaim is that we should be holy in this world. We should have a neshama in this world. And the final Chaim is to live a life of serving Hashem, and that's the greatest life. There's no greater Chaim than a life that is L'man Chelokim Chaim. And that is the progression of the three Chaims. We'll just conclude the section with a harrowing and very emotional perush of the Kloisenberger Rebbe. The Kloisenberger Rebbe, this is brought down in the Betzela de Hemenusa, and it records that in the drush that the Kloisenberger Rebbe gave on the first night of Slichos, after they were liberated from Auschwitz, he said as follows. Listen to this. Zochreinu l'chayim, remember the life we just experienced, Hashem. And only because you are Melech Chafetz B'chayim, only because you're the one who desires life, who wants us to remain alive, to do mitzvos, to do Ma'isim Tovim, to be a good person. Therefore, Kasveinu B'sefer Achayim. On this Rosh Hashanah, when the books of life and death are open, at this time Hashem, Zochreinu L'chayim. Right? And then he went on to say, but it's only because it's Laman Chelokim Chayim. Says the Kohen Baragi, at this point, we would choose death. We have nothing else to live for. The only reason we're going to choose life, Hashem, is because you want us to have life. But if it was up to us, we would give up at this point. And we're only requesting life, should be the Ratzon Hashem. Let's move on to the next insertion. That was number one. Let's go on to number two. Mi Chamocha. This is also from the Gonim, as we said. The Prisha notes that the insertion is less problematic because it's a praise, it's not a bakasha. We're saying how great is Hashem. And the Torah says that there are eight words here that correspond to a pasuk in Tehillim in Perek Ayin Ches that says, V'yizkor ki basar heima, ruach holech v'lo yashuv. Hashem, remember us, we're just human beings. We're flesh and blood, we mess up. Give us another chance. Those eight words correspond to the eight words of that pasuk. And the Beis Yosef explains along this line as well that we're trying to show Hashem, you know, give us a break. We're trying our best. There is a machlokus rishonim, whether it is mi chamocha av harachaman or mi chamocha av harachamim. Nusach Ashkenaz says av harachamim. Nusach Sfard says av harachaman. So you should be aware of that, whatever your nusach is. And the Kaf HaChaim writes that even those who say av harachamim, av harachaman, will say av harachamim on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. There's some sort of reason, I'll pick Kabbalah, why that is better. And the perush is as follows. Listen to this. This again is according to Rashi and the Beis Yosef. We ask Hashem that we should remember us for life, because He's the King who desires us to live, right? That's what we said before. But even if we don't have the merits from our own actions, nevertheless, Mi chamocha v'rachamim zocher Hashem, who is like you, remember. Remember Yitzurav. Remember your creations, who are only human, l'chaim v'rachamim, for a life that is mercy. Because we're only human beings, and we have a Yitzhara that causes us to sin. And therefore, Hashem, have mercy on us. Do what you can to help us out. And that's the kavana of Mi Chamocha Avarachmim. Hashem, you are merciful. Please give us a chance. We are only human beings. Yitzurav, we're just flesh and blood. Give us a chance this coming year one more time. Let's take a pause in the two insertions here, and let's talk about the brachas of HaMelech HaMishpat and HaMelech HaKadosh. This is a Gemara in Brachos. And therefore, since we're dealing with Chazal, a Gemara in Brachos, Daf Yud Beis, we take this much more seriously than the other four insertions. The Gemara has a machlokas amarayim, what to say, and the Gemara concludes that we say, HaMelech HaKadosh. Rashi says, that these days Hashem is more apparent as the king, right? We are Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we anoint Hashem as the king. And the Kolbo says that this is a reminder, we're about to begin our tefillah, our Shemona Esrei, before the Melech. And the Prima Gadim writes in the Rosh Yosef that the Malchus is a name of Din and Mishpat. Kel, Hashem's name Kel, Aleph Lamed, is a name of Chesed. But Melech is a Din of Mishpat. And therefore, we change it for the Amnorayim to focus on the Din and the Mishpat of this period. The Kolbo says that we say a Melech HaMishpat to remind us that the time of judgment is approaching, and this feeling should move us to do tshuva. And the Taz says, during the rest of the year, we focus on the tzedakah, the kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the goodness of Hashem. But during Aseres Yimei Tshuva, says the Taz, we focus on the mishpat more than the tzedakah. And he gives the following mashal. He says, sometimes the basin will sit when there's a case, right? The judge is not always in session. If somebody steals something from the store, so then he'll say, okay, we have a court case, I'll come in, I'll judge the case. And that's the rest of the year. But sometimes the court is just in session. It's judging and it's judging and it's judging. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits with his Beis Din. And during the Yom Noraim, there's this time of judgment. It's not just, oh, let's see what happens, we'll sit down with the Beis Din. But the court is in session during Aseres Yimei Tshuva. It is more serious. He is Melech HaMishpat. And he is giving a more serious din. Okay, so Rabbeinu Yonah and the tour, they bring a machlokas rishonim whether the nusach is ma'akev. If I say, don't say HaMelech HaMishpat or HaMelech HaKadosh, I have to repeat. And the Shulchan Aruch says that it is ma'akev. And therefore we know, if I mess up HaMelech HaMishpat or HaMelech HaKadosh, I have to go back and repeat at the end of the day. Because this is a major change. We're talking about Chazal, we're talking about a Nusach HaBracha, it reflects the whole spirit of the day, and therefore we must be careful if we mess up to go back to the beginning of the Shemoneh Esrei. There is a halachic discussion over here. A famous piece of the Chai Adam who brings Rav Avila Pasfeller. Who's Rav Avila Pasfeller? He was a Dayan. He was a Rav in Vilna that we only know like three things he said. And the Stipler Gaon used to say that you should write down your Divrei Torah. Because if you don't write down your Divrei Torah, you're going to end up like Rav Avila Pasfeller, and we're only going to have three things that people say in your name. So write down your Divrei Torah, or no one's going to remember who you are. So this is one of the things that he said. Rav Avila Pasfeller said that the rest of all the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, if you forget HaMelech HaMishpat, HaMelech HaKadosh, or at least HaMelech HaKadosh, you have to go back and repeat, except on the first night of Rosh Hashanah. Why not? Because in essence, Rosh Hashanah is really just a very fancy Rosh Chodesh, for the point of this discussion, right? And if that's the case, if you forgot Yal V'Yavo on the night of Rosh Chodesh, if you were davening Maariv, would you have to repeat? No. Why? Because the Beis Din doesn't sit to be Mekadosh the Chodesh to accept witnesses for a new month at night. So if that's the case, on the night of Rosh Hashanah, the Beis Din is not sitting to accept new witnesses, and therefore, if I miss on the night of Rosh Hashanah, HaMelech HaKadosh, she says, you don't have to repeat. This leads to a firestorm amongst all the commentaries. What does he mean? How is that the case? How is that true? And how do we apply this? The Sefer Ma'im Chaim questions the whole Shita, the whole concept over here. What does that mean? It's Rosh Hashanah. How does that mean? If I leave out a part of the doubt in Rosh Hashanah, I don't have to repeat? Of course you have to repeat. They find this to be very difficult. Why does it matter if they're Mekadosh L'Chodesh or not? Is it Rosh Hashanah? Then it's HaMelech HaKadosh. So Rosh Shlomo of Vilna, the Binyan Shlomo of Moshe Fein, says that Shuvah Negros Moshe or Achayim Chelek Aleph, they defend it, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, and they want to say that it's just the first day of Rosh Hashanah, not all the Maarevs of Rosh Hashanah. They have a whole complicated explanation as well. Halacha L'maisa, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says you have to repeat any tefillah that misses a Melech HaMishpat as well. Rabbi Salvechik says the same thing, Rosh Hashanah brings as well, and that kind of stays on the side as well. Let's turn now to the next insertion of Uksov L'chaim Tovim. This, again, the third piece from the Gaonim, and the Magen Avraham cites the Matzah Moshe. The Matzah Moshe was a student of the Maharshal. The Maharshal and the Rama lived at the same time. They were cousins. The Rama lived in Krakow. The Maharshal lived in Lublin. You can visit the Maharshal's grave in Lublin. You can visit the Rama in Krakow as well. And they were cousins. They also wrote to each other. We have all their letters collected in the Tshuvas HaRama, and they often wrote very harshly to each other. They loved each other very much, but they also kind of ribbed each other a lot. The Maharshal made fun of the Ramah for learning too much philosophy and for his poor diktuk. And the Ramah would tell the Maharshal to leave him alone to mind his own business. So, interesting relationship between the two. So the Maharshal of the Talmud, the Mata Moshe. So the Mata Moshe says that we should only say Uchsov L'chaim Kol B'nei B'risacha instead of Uchsov L'chaim Tovim. You should only say Uchsov L'chaim, not Chaim Tovim. The tour, again, what was the tour's rule? You increase, you add more and more and more going forward. You should say L'chaim and then add more things, Uchsov L'chaim Tovim as well. And therefore, the tour disagrees with that approach. And he feels that that you should always add L'chaim Tovim as well. And this is what the Mishnah Berurah says regarding this particular bracha. The Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah says that in Chazaras Hashatz, before we should say the paragraph of Avinu Malkeinu Zechor Rachamecha, we should add that as well. We only add Avinu Malkeinu Zechor Rachamecha in Musaf and Ne'ilah. We don't follow the Rambam in this case, so we'll put the Rambam on the side. And the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah say that if you forget Uchsov and B'Sefer Chaim, and you remember before Shem Hashem, as we said before, you can go back and correct the bracha. What is the Perush of Uchsov L'Chaim Tovim? Listen to this. This is all based on the Vilna Gaon. This is in Lakutei Agra, comments of the Vilna Gaon. And he says the following Yesod before we get to the Perush. The Vilna Gaon says that in the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, we ask for Olam Haba. The beginning of Shemoneh Esrei is all about asking for Olam Haba. And therefore, we don't need to ask L'chaim Tov in the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, because obviously Olam Haba is good. It's Olam Haba. Of course it's good. And therefore, there's no reason to say L'chaim Tovim in the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei and in Micha Mocha. In the end of Shemoneh Esrei, says the Vilna Gaon, we are davening not for Olam Haba, but rather for Olam Hazeh. We're asking for a good year. And therefore, Uksov and B'Sefer Chaim, we ask for L'chaim Tovim, because this world can be sometimes not so good, and sometimes good as well. The same idea is found in the Ramchal. Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, the author of the Mesillas Yesharim, says the same Yesod. So if that's the case, listen to this. Says the Vilna Gaon, Uksov, and write, not just for life in the next world, like we asked for in the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, but also L'chaim Tovim in this world, Kol B'nei B'risacha, for all of the people. B'nei B'risacha means the Jewish people, right? And Ritzvi Ferber writes in the Siach Tzvi that we include B'nei B'risacha to show that this is a tefillah for the Rabbim, for the Sibor. It's for everybody. We want all of mankind to have this as well. And therefore, says the Vilna Gaon, this bracha, this insertion pivots to be a request for Olam Hazeh, as opposed to the last two in the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, which is a request for Olam Haba. The last insertion is B'Sefer Chaim. This is the final phrase from the Gaonim as well. And we kind of discussed all the halachos, so let's learn the Perush. The Perush is as follows. B'Sefer Chaim, in the Book of Life, good, we should have good blessing. V'Shalom, we should have calm. We should have quiet. We should have no fighting. And we should have Uparnasa Tova. We should have comfortable, expansive parnasa, nizacher, we should be remembered. V'nikasev lefanecha, we should be ridden before you. And we should have awe and to serve you, right? And anachnu v'chol amcha beis Yisrael, us and all the Jewish people. And all of this should be l'chaim tovim u'l'shalom, a life full of goodness, rest, and peace. That is the perush according to the Mefarshim. In the Machzor Vitri, again, Rasimcha Vitri, the Talmud of Rashi. So he says that Zochreinu, we ask for Chaim, and Uchsov, we ask for Chaim Tovim. And in B'Sefer, we ask for more and request Chaim Tovim U'L'Shalom, again, because the Derech is to increase. As we said at the beginning, look, each one asks for Chaim, Chaim Tovim, and then Chaim Tovim U'L'Shalom. You'll see that all four fit together as a unit. And they walk us through the Shemoneh Esrei. The Shemoneh Esrei is brilliant from top to bottom. I think we see the sensitivity and the dedication that Chazal and the Gaonim put into the Siddur to see how careful each step was put in to guide us, to take our hand, and to walk us through the Shemoneh Esrei with the perspective of the Yom Narayim, to focus on Olam Haba, Olam Hazeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what it means to have life, a good life, a life of peace, and each step of these four insertions are there to hold our hands and to take us through the Shemona Esrei. Let's conclude now with the last change, and that is Oseh HaShalom, or HaMavarech HaSamo Yisrael VaShalom. There are two different nuschos between Nusach Eretz Yisrael and Nusach Bavel. When I talk about Nusach Eretz Yisrael, Nusach Bavel, I'm not talking about any siddur you can find nowadays. We're talking about the earliest nuschos, the earliest changes that we have to the davening, regarding the conclusion of the bracha of Shalom. In the siddur of Rav Amram Gon, the siddur of Rav Amram Gon is the first siddur that we have. In the siddur of Rav Amram Gon, he says that it should be HaMavareich Es Amo Yisrael BaShalom. That is the siddur of Rav Amram Gon. Now, it's important to remember that when the Shliach Tzibur does conclude HaMavareich Es Amo Yisrael BaShalom during the Yom Norayim and the Shalosh Regalim, the Tzibur should not cut him off. Because what happens sometimes with Shul is that the Chazan says this, and together with the Tzibur it sounds HaMavareich Es Amo Yisrael BaShamein. That the Jewish people should be blessed to be fat. And that is totally not appropriate. We need to wait for the Chazan to say, HaMavareich Es Amo Yisrael BaShalom. Amen. So that we can hear the bracha and answer accordingly, and not say the Jewish people should be bashamen, should be fat. Okay? So just to keep in mind. Now, that's in the Seder of Rav Amram Gon. In the Rav Amram Gon, in his Perush on his Seder, it says to say, Oseh HaShalom. So we don't even know what to do. There's a stira, a contradiction in his own book. It seems that over time, it must be that the text of the Siddur of Rav Amram Gon became corrupted and altered to attach with the Minog. So it's hard to look to his Siddur to know exactly what to do. The Nusach Ashkenaz was almost always HaMavarech HaSamo Yisrael BaShalom. Without question, that has always been the Nusach Ashkenaz. The Shiboli HaLeket brings a Medrash that when Bnei Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, they fulfilled the mitzvah of Benasati Shalom Baretz, that we brought peace to the land, and the Malachi Asharitz, the ministering angels, began to sing, Baruch Oseh HaShalom, blessed is he who has made peace. Now, there's another medrash in Vayikra Rabbah. Listen to this medrash. Rav Mani Deshav Rav Yeshua Mesachin B'Shem Rav Levi, Gadol Shalom, great is peace, Shekol HaBrachos V'Tovos V'Nechamos, all of the blessings, good things, and comfort that a Kadosh Baruch Hu Mevi'in Al Yisrael brings to the Jewish people, Chosmin B'Shalom, they conclude with Shalom. B'Kriya Shema, we say, Horeis Sukkas Shalom, right? And then we say in Tefillah, Oseh Shalom. And then in Birchas Kohanim we say, B'Yisim Lecha Shalom. We always end everything with peace. We see from the Medrash that there was apparently a concluding bracha that said either Oseh Shalom or Oseh Shalom. So it's not being pulled out of nowhere. There is such a Nusach. And this has become the popular for Nusach Ashkenaz during the Yamim Noraim. Nusach Ashkenaz in many places switches to become Oseh HaShalom or Oseh Shalom. The Maharil says that Oseh is Gematria Safriel. Safriel is the Malach who's in charge of writing the names down in the Sifrei Chaim and the Ksiva of the Yom Noraim. And therefore, we're saying is that we should be inscribed Chaim Tovim V'Shalom, that we're saying this Malach Safriel, we're kind of invoking his name. However, the Siddur of the Shla wrote a commentary on the Siddur, he says that it shouldn't change the normal Nusach HaBracha at all. And he has a whole explanation as to what it should be at the end of the day. And this is the opinion of the Vilna Gaon, that as noted in the Peras HaShulchan, his Talmud, Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov, and it's also the opinion of Rabbi Soloveitchik, brought by Rabbi Shechter, that it should always be HaMavareich Es Amo Yisrael BaShalom, and it should not be changed. Now, it should be noted that when the Beis Yosef brings the Medrash that we just quoted about, you know, peace in Eretz Yisrael, so his version says that they sang HaMavareich Es Amo Yisrael BaShalom. So even the Medrash would support the Nusach Ashkenaz to keep HaMavrechas HaMayishav HaShalom. The Chud HaMashulash. The Chud HaMashulash is considered to be the classic biography of the Chassam Sofer. I think Art Scroll came out with a biography of the Chassam Sofer maybe last year. But the real biography written by the family is the Chud HaMashulash. It's a biography, it's a Chud HaMashulash, the three strings. It's mostly a biography of the Chassam Sofer, a little bit about his Mechudin Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and then his son, the Chassam Sofer. So we have all the famous stories about the Chassam Sofer there. So in the Chud HaMashulash, it says that in the days of the Chassam Sofer, that the in Ashkenaz, there was a lot of machlokas about what to do about the shalom. Should you say Osa Shalom, or should you say Hamavrach HaSamay Yisrael HaShalom? To the extent that there were two camps of Jews called by different names. There was the Mavarechaners, the people who said Mavarech, and there were the Oseners, the people who said Osa. And the Tshuva Me'ava speaks at length about this, and he says that the Noda Behuda felt that it shouldn't be changed. However, if somebody did change it, he didn't protest, he didn't say anything it was wrong with it, and the Aruch HaShulchan says the same thing as well, to keep it HaMavarech HaSamay Yisrael HaShalom. So I would say here, unless your family has a strong minog to change it during Aseret Yimei Tshuva to Oseh HaShalom, you should not change it, as it seems to be the clear understanding of most poskim and the most popular minog to say HaMavarech HaSamay Yisrael HaShalom 365 days out of the year. So I think we've discussed all the insertions and the change to the Siddur. We went through the chains of HaMelech HaKadosh and HaKel HaKadosh, HaMelech HaMishpat. We discussed the four insertions of the Gaonim, how they speak about different requests for life, what it means to have a life. When we talk about requesting Sifrei Chaim, that we should be open to a book of life, do we even know what we're talking about? Do we know what it means to have a request for a meaningful life, a life that is something worthwhile in the eyes of Hashem? Something we need to think about in the next upcoming days, about how does Hashem view a worthwhile and a meaningful life, and how we find that in the Siddur itself. And finally, the conclusion of HaMavarech HaSamay Yisrael HaShalom. It is our hope that our tefillah should be enhanced with these better understanding, to really, really appreciate. We live in a time where I don't think we understand or appreciate the gift we have in the Siddur and the Machzor, and what a tremendous tool it is, what a tremendous instrument it is. And the more that we take time to learn how to play that instrument, and to learn the intricacies and the beauty and the depth and the meaning that goes into every single word, every single letter of the Siddur, will only enhance our davening, and in turn will only enhance ourselves and our own Avodas Hashem to see the beauty that we have with the Siddur and the Machzor. Okay, we'll conclude here.